singing well. God bless each and every one. I'm not going to take no time up, but just to say I've really enjoyed the meetings with the Brother Brian, and I want to ask him at this time to book us for this time next year again. And I'm not just saying it to be nice, I mean it. I want a brother to come again next year at this time if we can, and we're going to have meetings again if the Lord hasn't come for us between now and then. And I want him to come tonight and take his liberty, and this is going to be the best meeting so far tonight. You know, we can say things for to be negative. Well, that's the positive. The Lord bless you all. God bless you, brother. Come and take your liberty.
Thank you.
I'm in the Lord bless. I must say I've very much appreciated and enjoyed the time here, not just in the ministry, but in fellowship with all that I've had fellowship with, and I've really appreciated your hospitality and everything you've done for me, and it's just been a good time, and I'm really a little bit sad to be going home, but also a little bit glad, if that makes any sense. It's always good to get back home, but it's good to be here, and I really appreciate your faith and your confidence in the ministry, and it's just the Lord, really. It's not a man. We want Christ to speak.
Amen.
Man can say anything and can fall and fail, but Christ never fails. He's Amen. Always the same, and we bless his wonderful name.
Amen.
So I greet you tonight in the name of the Lord. And while you remain standing, shall we turn in our Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 13? And verse 52. Then said he unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed into the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. And I wish to speak about that, things new and old. And may the Lord bless his word. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, it's wonderful when you give us some thoughts from the scripture to share, but Lord God, when we come to do it, we have a total inability within ourselves to do it effectively. And so we pray, Lord God, that Father, you'd help us just to yield to you, and I pray that the anointing and the unction of the Holy Spirit would be upon the Word of God tonight, that we may receive of you, and that we may be glad that we came into the house of the Lord. Minister to us, Lord, this evening. Speak to us out of your Word. We commit it into your hands now, and we pray for these blessings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for God's glory. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. You may be seated. Does this pulpit move? Do you think we could move it just a little bit back so that the sun's not in my eyes? That would be good.
Oh, no.
Do you want it that way a bit? Do you want it that way?
Yeah, press that way.
Come on, you're sitting on the job.
Well, that's better. Praise the Lord. I wish to speak tonight on things new and old. It's just a little message that was quickened to me. I think it was the last message I preached before I left, and so I just wanted to share a few thoughts and speak about the relevance today of both things old and new, and I pray that the Lord will quicken it. And just before we get into the old and the new, I'd just like to give a few definitions, if you like. Firstly, with God, there's nothing new and there's nothing old. With God, everything is and always has been. He is the I am.
Amen.
Nothing's new to God. It's only new to man. God's not discovering anything. It's we that discover things.
Amen.
It's God doesn't need a revelation of things.
Amen.
Old and new, he is the revelation.
Amen.
And he's never adding to that nor taking away from it. So there's a constant about our God. He's infinite. He's the I am. It's always him. You know, sometimes we talk about restoration of the word. There's really no such thing.
Right.
You can't restore. That's like saying we're going to restore God.
Right.
We can't restore the Lord.
Amen.
He always was.
Amen.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So you can't improve that. You can't add anything to it. You can't make it better. It always was, and it always will be. It always is God, and always was God. So something is old because it took place a long time ago, at least in our understanding, and it is either relevant or irrelevant. And that's the important thing that I want to talk about, the relevance of those things which are old and the irrelevance of them. And also something is new because it took place recently in our understanding. Well, and it is either relevant or irrelevant. And I want to say not all things old are irrelevant, and not all things new are relevant. So every minister, every scribe, which Jesus was referring to that religious group that were receiving the things from God and giving it out to the people. But we need to think beyond that. We need to think as individuals as well. But every minister is instructed to bring forth old and new that are relevant today. So I want to say this. It's not just things that happened in our day. It's things both old and new that are relevant to our day. And so keeping the balance in that is really very important. And so it's important that we do that. And also you'll notice that every scribe which is instructed into the kingdom of God. Now, we all need instruction. God uses men to give us instruction under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. But this is my feeling about receiving instruction, that we can't receive it through our intellectual capability. We can't receive it through human rationalization. We have to receive it by inspiration from God. It's got to come by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus said that the Holy Ghost would be our teacher. That doesn't mean that we don't need teachers in the church, but the teacher's got to be anointed of the Holy Ghost, and you've got to be anointed of the Holy Ghost to receive what the teacher is saying. You can't receive it any other way but by the Holy Ghost. I'll give you an example. I may listen to one of Brother Branham's messages, or one of Tommy's messages, or anybody, somebody else may also listen to that message, and they get a totally different view and understanding when they hear that message. So what's really important is we all listen and we all hear, but we need the anointing to pick out truth.
Amen.
We can't see the Word of God without the anointing of the Holy Spirit, because the Bible says that same anointing which you've received of him teacheth you of all things and is truth.
Amen.
So it's the anointing of the Holy Spirit that is truth. We are very, very dependent in our own personal lives in relation to receiving and being instructed in truth. We're very dependent upon the Holy Spirit to actually minister to us and instruct us in the truth of his word. We can't receive it any other way but by the anointing of God and by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And unfortunately, it's when men receive it some other way, they may get a totally different concept of what's been said. I don't want to spend too long on that, but just there's two things in the scripture. One is there's two things that are used in the Greek for the word, for example. There's the rhema and there's the logos. Now the logos is what the scriptures speak of in John: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The logos is the concept or the thought of God that is communicated to us by the rhema, which is either the written or the spoken word. Now, you can read the written word, you can hear the spoken word, and still miss the logos.
Yes, amen.
And that's the way it is. We need the anointing of the Holy Spirit to catch the word that came from that comes from God. You can listen to a message, as I said, and you may catch something, may give you a totally different thought that isn't the thought of God, that isn't the Logos of God, but the Holy Spirit communicates the Logos of God. He uses the Rhema to do that, which is both the spoken and the written word, but it takes the Holy Spirit to anoint truth to our hearts so we may be able to receive it. So we need to be instructed, and we need the Holy Spirit. So the next thing that I want to just say is this, that he brings forth out of his treasure. You can't bring anything unless it's precious to you. It's got to be a treasure. So many talk about the things of the Lord out of just theology, or they heard somebody else say it, or they're in a position where they've got to speak, so they'll talk. But really, what we need to be bringing is the treasures that are in our heart. And these things must be treasures to us, both old and new. Some of the treasure is old, some of the treasure is new. But whatever we bring out, it must be that which is a treasure to you. Your testimony is powerful when you treasure it. The Word of God is powerful when you treasure it. When you put value on the Scripture, when you put value on what God has done for you, then the Lord is able to make it effective. But it's no use me bringing out of my treasury something that I heard somebody else say. And I'm saying it because I heard somebody else saying it, but it's not really a revelation or a treasure to my personal heart. But if it's a treasure to me, and you know, if Jesus Christ is a treasure to you, if the things that God has done in your life, both old and new, are things that you really treasure. Now if you treasure something, you're going to protect it. No man's going to take this from me. God gave it to me, and I'm not moving from it. I know that it's pure gold, and I'm not moving from it. Now I might tell you, come here, I want to show you what I got here in my treasury, and I'll show you the jewels and the gold, that you're not allowed to take them away from me, but I will share with you what is my treasure, and then you're also able to believe that God can give you the same treasure in your heart. So it's got to be something that we treasure. You know, our whole experience in life, we treasure a lot of things. But to me, as a believer, the greatest thing we treasure is our salvation. We treasure our experiences with God. We treasure those days when God visited us. We treasure today when God visits us.
Amen.
But we treasure those moments when God speaks very clearly, implicitly to us.
Right.
We treasure the moments when the Holy Ghost came upon us. Some, you know, you'll never talk me out of it. I'm sorry, I can't. It's so precious to me that you'll never talk me out of it. Somebody said, well, you better quit preaching this baptism of the Holy Ghost. You know, and you better fall in line with the general revelation. But I can't do it, because I tell you, I was there that day when he came into my bedroom. I was there when the power of God came down. I was there when that supernatural presence came on me. I was there when Jesus Christ came into my life. And I know that I wouldn't be here today if I wasn't there on that day. And he wasn't there on that day. So I know there's been something that's kept me when I would have broken out and gone anyway. Just things happen in life would have just crushed me and I run off and away from the things of the Lord. But the Holy Ghost, that treasure in my heart, I'm not prepared to give that up. Somebody said, oh, well, let's just go back out into the world, backslide. What? And give up the treasure that we have? At the cost of that, to throw away our treasure? No, we need the treasure, the things of God. And so we can't bring forth something that isn't valuable to us. And so the scribe, now I don't want to just refer to the ministry, I'm referring to all of us here today, should bring forth things out of his treasury. And it should be things that he treasures, not what others treasure. I don't want to preach what's important to somebody else.
I want to preach what I know is important to me and important to God. I don't want to tell you about somebody else's revelation or somebody else's treasure. I want to tell you what God's done for me, because that's all I know. That's what I value. That's my treasure. So the first thing I want to say is this, that pardon me, some things never change. Some things are always, they're neither new nor old. You know, Ecclesiastes says in chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, the thing that hath been is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new, it hath already been of old time, which was before us? Many things, natural cycles, they change, yes, but they're not new. This has been going on for a long time. Maybe even the technology we have today may have existed, even in the antediluvian world. Man's nature and his needs remain unchanged. God, of course, remains totally unchanged. We've already said that. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. Satan is still the same diabolical, wicked power that existed thousands of years ago, and is exactly the same devil that we face today, Martin Luther faced and the early church faced, and we're facing it now, coming to a maturity into an antichrist system. So his schemes don't change, his mission hasn't changed. He's got a mission, he came to steal, kill and destroy. The Lord's mission is very simple, that he came to bring us life and life more abundant. And so his mission hasn't changed, Satan's mission hasn't changed. Some things never change. There are no new religions, they all existed somewhere before. You know, they're talking about now, when you know so many people, you read in the Bible where they offered children to Baal, they put them through the fire and they offered them as sacrifices. What's the difference with abortion? You know, they are pushing to abort children that are ready to be born. To me, that's just so wicked. It's just murder. There's nothing new under the sun. Man's wickedness is just the same. There's no new religions. They all existed sometime before. You know, when you look at all the pagan religions, we see it all coming back now into the world again. We see it all repeating itself. The things on earth change, but the actors in life's drama change, but the spirits never change. They remain unchanged. So we're going to reflect something in our age that was reflected in previous ages, the Spirit of God, if we're children of God. And the world is going to reflect what they're going to reflect. Religious spirits, the Pharisees are still with us. The Sadducees are still with us. The Herodians are still with us. Christ is still with us. The Word of God is still with us. Praise God. Now the first thing that I want to talk to you about in the third point is this, about some things old that are relevant. See, we got to bring old things out of our treasury. Ecclesiastes 3:14 says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. That's a wonderful thing. God ever saved you, you can't undo that, because it's forever. If God ever does anything, it's forever. He doesn't save to lose. He doesn't give to take away. He's not an Indian giver, he's an abundant giver. He gave you it and he wants to give even more abundance on what he's already given you. He's not an Indian giver, he doesn't take it away. So there are some things that are old that are relevant. The gospel now is 2,000 years old, but it is still the good news to this world. It is still the only hope that man has, but it's 2,000 years old. The shed blood of Jesus Christ is 2,000 years old, but it is still the only thing that will give men power to overcome in the last days, because it said they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. The resurrection resurrection took place 2,000 years ago, but it is still relevant for us today. That if Christ did not rise from the dead, neither could we ever rise to newness of life. So it's old, but it's still relevant. Now, people are bringing these things out of their script. You've got to ask questions. See, these things have got to be continuously brought out of the treasury. They've got to be continually referred to. They've got to be continually preached. The baptism of the Holy Ghost, as it was received 2,000 years ago, is something old, but it's still relevant today. Praise God. God, His nature, His attributes, they're still relevant today. I don't know whether I mentioned it here or whether I was in England, but I talked about the attributes of God. And, you know, sometimes people get the idea that that attribute of love and mercy only came through Jesus Christ. But actually, that attribute of love and mercy always was with God.
Amen.
Always was. God's always been merciful. But he's also been righteous and he's also been just. He's loved us, but he's also had to exercise his justice when we do wrong, particularly in the Old Testament. But then the beauty of the New Testament is this, that God himself became a man, took upon him the penalty of our sin, the judgment of our sin, took the justice that needed to be executed as a result of our transgressions, which opened the door for the Lord now to show mercy and truth to all mankind, that we can all come under the blood of God, not the wrath of God. We can all come under the mercy seat. We can all come to Jesus Christ, and we can all be delivered and we can all be saved through the atonement that he has provided. So, we see that the truth is old. It's as old as God is. There's no new truth. Amen. God is the truth. Amen. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It is old. Amen. We need to bring that out of our bags. He is the truth.
Amen.
He always was the truth. We've got no additional truth. Truth is embodied in the Lord Jesus Christ. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by our Lord Jesus Christ. So the truth is old, but it is still new. It is still relevant, rather. So Christ's role as high priest and mediator began thousands of years ago, but it's still relevant today. You can still get through to God by going through Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, you'll never get through God by coming to me. You'll never get through God by going to another man. You'll never get through God by going to a ministry. You'll never get through to God by going to somebody that's gifted. You'll get through to God through Jesus Christ by a new and living way that is provided for us through the shedding of his own blood. God has given us, he said it was a new and living way. Somebody said it's old today. Well, it may be 2,000 years ago when he opened up the door, but it's still relevant to you and I today. He's still the intercessor. He's still the high priest. He's still the mediator.
Amen.
Let me also say that the Old Testament types and shadows, the feasts, the offerings, and all of the types and shadows that were reflected in Moses' law are still relevant today.
Amen.
Because they were fulfilled in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When he said, I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law.
Amen.
And so he actually took the things that were old and he fulfilled them in his own life. And we may say, well, they're not relevant today, but they are.
Amen.
And that's why we preach from the Old Testament. We bring out truth from the Old Testament because it confirms the reality of the New Testament.
Amen.
And we've got a double witness, and it just gives us clinches the issue and drives the truth down into our hearts, and we've got something to hold on to because we've got the scripture in the old, the shadows in the old. We see the perfect in the new. We join the two together and we have the word of God.
Amen.
So the Old Testament types and shadows are still relevant to us today. So, the Great Commission is still relevant today.
Amen.
Doesn't matter how successful you are. God's not looking for success. He's looking for obedience. We leave the results in the hand of God. But the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all the world is still relevant today. And I've got to say that when Jesus was on earth and he said, concerning the end time, that this same gospel that he was preaching
Amen.
Had to be preached in all the world before the end comes.
Now
you cannot. He doesn't want a new gospel preached. He wants the old one
Amen.
That is relevant still today.
Amen.
Same gospel, same God, same word, same truth.
Amen.
Sometimes people don't have the weighty matters, even in this script. It doesn't even exist there. You never hear any preaching on it. They can't bring it out of the treasury because it isn't a treasure to them. And so sometimes the weighty matters, the foundational truths, is not even in their treasure. They treasure something else. So we want to have these foundational truths in our bag, in our treasure bag. We want to be able to bring it out, and we want to be able to use it for the glory of God. Because Jesus said, we've got to bring both the old and the new out.
Amen.
Not just the new, but the old and the new.
Amen.
So, people sometimes neglect the unchangeable truths revealed in ages past. Some people only live on current events. That's all they bring. Some of all we hear about is Malachi 4. That's all we hear about. God sent a prophet. Well, that's true. But the thing is, there's got to be more in your bag than that.
Amen.
You know, we've got to have more in our bag than just God sent a prophet. Amen. I'll come to that in just a minute. It's not that that's wrong, but if that's all you've got in your bag, you need a little bit more in your script.
Amen.
There's got to be some other treasure in there
Amen.
That you're able to share.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
So, and so I believe in these days, it's not only happening amongst us, but they say there's a worldwide move back to the old foundational Bible teachers from a few hundred years ago, because those men were grounded in the Word of God. And now we've got in Christianity, now I'm not just talking our movement, I'm talking about Christianity in the world. It's really hard today to go anywhere and hear Bible foundational truths preached anymore. The good old gospel truths of the Word of God somehow are neglected for a modern gospel. And so I feel the Lord would have us all established in the Word of God, established in the Scripture, that when the real hour of temptation comes. You know, I've just been reading a few testimonies of different men that were Christians during the world wars, and they talked about the men in the camp there by the River Kai, where they built that bridge over the River Kai, I think they call it. But they were talking about some of the men in that camp, and they were so desperate, everybody was dying all around them. In the end, you know what happened? There was only one book that mattered to anybody, and that was the Bible. And they would hand the New Testament around, and because there wasn't a lot of it, and you get an hour to read that book. And then a man would grab that book and he'd sit down. These prisoners, knowing they're close to death, knowing that they're in this Japanese prisoner of war camp, and they'd read that book for an hour. And then they'd pass it on to somebody else. And then they started to get together as groups and talk about the Scripture. You know, the Word of God is the most powerful book that was ever put together. And it is so important. There's power in the Word of God. There's power in this book. Praise the Lord. Sometimes we get such an out of balance thing, that people say, well, I've had brothers come up to me and say, well, my pastor, he told us we don't worry so much about the Bible. We've got the Message, which is the interpretation. Just read the Message and then you don't need to read the Bible. See, I don't believe that. I believe we've got to take everything back to the Word of God. Our foundation is the Word of God. Praise God. I believe that. The authority behind William Branham's message is the Bible. That is the authority. And so it all had to be brought back to the Word of God. I remember reading a true life story. A true story of a man that was sailing from Panama to Australia to get together, back together with his fiancée. and he ran out of food and he ran out of everything, and he had a whole library of books in there and he'd read them all. He was drifting for weeks and weeks and months and months, and eventually got marooned on an island and eventually did get to Australia, but he was that close to death. And he said when he'd read all the books, he said none of them had any impact on him, but he said he read that Bible through and through and through and through. Praise God. And that's one of the things that really struck my heart as a young man, because I read it in the last year of school, and it really let me know that there's something very true about the scripture. And then when it was testified to me, I believed the words of Jesus. And when you believe those words of Jesus, if you can take it back to the Bible, you've got the foundation upon which you can stand. Praise the Lord. And I'm sure that that's the way God would have us to do it.
That's right.
Now, some things that are old, they are irrelevant. Well, the Old Testament covenant is not relevant to us today. The performance of that covenant. In that Isaiah, Hebrews 8:13, in that Isaiah, a new covenant hath he made. In that Isaiah, a new covenant he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxes old is ready to perish away. Now we're talking about the old laws, the food laws, the clothing laws, the ceremonial laws. All of them are true in type, but irrelevant in New Testament practice. Irrelevant in New Testament practice. And it's a real danger to pick it up. That's what the Jews did. Yeah. That's why every scribe needs to be instructed. Yeah. See, the New Testament church there, the Jewish converts, they were still insisting that everybody be circumcised. They were still insisting on the Old Testament rites of purification, and they were ready to offer a sacrifice at the end of their period of purification. They were shaving their heads. Paul had shaved his head, so making vows, all of that was not in the New Testament. Jesus said that we shouldn't even make that vows. Now, and I ask you the question, what in the world does would an animal sacrifice do for me when the blood of Jesus had been shed? Now, Paul knew that. He said, I gave place to these brethren for a season. But then later in Galatians, he said, they're at the enemies of the cross of Christ. And so many times people try to bring the Old Testament practices into New Testament practice, and it isn't so.
Yeah.
And neither should it be so. It's old and it's irrelevant.
Yes.
Irrelevant in the sense as far as the ceremonial side and the practices, not as far as the types are concerned. So once God only dealt with Israel, Now he deals with the whole world.
Amen.
It's not just the nation Israel now. It's the whole world. In the olden times, it was only Israel. Today, there were exceptions, of course, but today, God deals with the whole world. And here's the thing. It's very important that we differentiate between the word that God sent and the inspiration that God sent in former ages and the organized religion that came as a result of that in future generations. See, there's nothing wrong with the revelation that Luther had. It's just what the Lutheran denominational system did with it. That's the wrong part. So, to me, the old things that are irrelevant is saying that we have to serve God under a denominational system or organization, or we can't serve God.
Amen.
You know, there are people that actually, I just heard it on a tape where Brother Branham referred to some man, an organizational man, was saying, well, you know, Brother Branham, if they're not part of our organization, they're just not going to make it. Many people get that idea. And you know, as soon as you say that, you're organized.
Right.
You know, as soon as you say that, you know you've denominated.
Amen.
And the spirit is left.
Right.
We've got to be careful with the message God gave us.
Amen.
That we don't denominate it to such a fact that we get so exclusive that nobody can get into the kingdom except they come and be part of our group. Well, what group? I don't know. There's so many. But anyway, you know what I'm trying to say.
Amen.
Now, I, it's not a matter of being critical. It's a matter of being realistic about the conditions of the age in which we live and the spirit of our day that's the same as the spirit of every other day. So you can't put new wine into old bottles. We know that. It won't last. You've got to get a new bottle. God finds new people in which he pours out his word and his truth. I want to talk about some things that are new, that are relevant. It is absolutely true that God has fulfilled in the last century the sending of the prophet of Malachi 4, a word of restoration and a manifestation of the same sign that came before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. That's something new that God did in our generation. And I want to make it true, sure for you, it wasn't new theology in the sense that all it did was correct us back to the old truth. It's a restoration. It's to bring us back to truth that was lost. It was to bring us back to biblical truth that was no longer being practiced. It was to correct errors of the ages gone by.
That's right.
And to tell us and give us a clear revelation, and I believe it has, of what this book is all about.
Amen.
And what this New Testament church is all about. Not what the Church of God says, not what the assemblies have said. Now, they may be saying a whole lot that's right. Not what the Lutherans are saying, or the Wesleyans, or the Presbyterians, or anybody else, but what does the Word of God say?
Amen.
And you see, a man sent like that under the Spirit that he was under of Elijah is always going to bring a restoration.
Amen.
It's a restoration prophet.
Mm-hmm.
He never wrote any word himself.
Amen.
He never wrote a new Bible. He never gave us an additional. Some said, Brother Brandon, you're qualified to do it. He said, you see, that's a trap of the devil.
Yes.
See, Isaiah wrote the word. Moses wrote the word. Jeremiah wrote the word that came to them, and it was all included in the authorized and inspired books of the Bible. But when God sent Elisha the Tishbite, he never came along and wrote another Bible.
Amen.
He simply rebuilt the altar that God had given them in the original, and the fire came down upon that altar.
Right.
So God says, if you can get back to the original, the fire will fall again.
Amen.
But if you can't get back to the original, the fire going to fall again. The original word, the original spirit, the original God, the original doctrine, and the original teaching of the scripture. Because God can't change it. He did it perfectly when he gave it us in the beginning. He gave us a perfect pattern in the book of Acts. It's his blueprint for the New Testament church. So it must be clear that it's new prophecy, but not new doctrine.
Yes.
Now, it may be new to you, but it's not new to God.
Amen.
And it's not even new to the church ages, because that was believed at one time.
Amen.
Back in Paul's day.
Amen.
So it's got to be clear that we've got to be really careful when people talk about the word for our day. Right? The word for our day is the promises that God said fulfill, brought to pass. It's now in a previous generation, but brought to pass and fulfilled in the last days. And people not able to see that are missing what God did, what new thing God did in fulfilling his word.
Amen.
And at the same time restoring back New Testament and correcting the errors of the ages past and bringing us back to the original scripture.
Amen.
You know, I've said it before, it quoted Spurgeon before, that which is new in theology is not true. So what is this something new? It's making the old new in our current reality. I'm going to tell you, baptism of the Holy Ghost might have been old, 2,000 years old, but I tell you what, it's brand new and up to date when it comes into your life.
Amen.
Praise God. God takes the old covenant, the old things that happened, and he brings it new in our reality. It's not new to God. It's not new to the churches, to the church ages, but it's certainly new to us.
Yes.
When we actually experience it. And so the old has got to be quickened and made new to us. Praise God.
Amen.
So we The Antichrist was to be exposed, and you know, really, the seals actually did that. And most of the Christian world either rejects it or they can't see it. It places no relevance on these things. It kind of grieves me, you know. I see some of these and I don't watch too much of it because I don't get too much out of it. But people chasing all kinds of ideas and all kinds of prophecies that are supposed to come to pass. And, you know, there are prophetic groups that are always focusing on what is God going to do for 2017. What is God doing in our day? What's the signs that God gave us in our day? When 50 years ago, the last sign that was going to be given was given.
Amen.
And that was the revealing of the secrets of the heart before the burning of the world. And you know, he stood there under that anointing and proclaimed that this is the last sign before Sodom is going to be burned.
Amen.
And everybody's chasing around now after new signs and new this and new that and ignoring what God has already done. And that's the reality of it all. Now I know everybody's gone, and so many people have gone to the extremes of this and not preaching what I'm preaching tonight. And that's okay. They're totally entitled to do that. They're only preaching what they treasure. But I'm preaching to you what I treasure.
Amen.
And I believe it's the word of God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. God help us all. And so we see now, you know, some of the modern things, you know, some of the new things, are relevant. The word that God fulfilled, the prophetic word that God fulfilled for our day. But now there are some things that are irrelevant. Some new things that are irrelevant. New mysteries, not biblically based. Reliance on some special mystic revelation that cannot be explained. Mm-hmm. Which destroys the very concept of revelation.
Amen.
Revelation is, you've probably seen Brother Howard do it with his handkerchief. I think he did it here. Where he put a handkerchief over the... I'll do it, I'll steal something from Brother Howard. But mind you, it's the only thing I've stolen from him. So Brother... And he got it from Brother Mamlis. But Brother Memler said, revelation is simply when God, there's something under there, you can't see it. Revelation is when God lifts the cover off and you actually can see it. Now the thing is, if you can't preach plain, true Bible truths, you haven't got it. Unless you can make something clear, you haven't got it. Because the Bible said, make the vision plain, that he that heareth it may run with it.
Amen.
Otherwise, you run with confusion.
Right.
And there's a whole lot of that going on, and I can understand why it happens, but you see, you need the anointing of the Holy Ghost to get the true revelation of what's been said.
Yes.
And if you haven't got that anointing, you've got another spirit on you, it might be very like the Holy Ghost. It may be very near to the Holy Ghost, but you've got another thought and concept in your mind as you listen to the Rhema. You're not catching the Logos, you're catching something else. I've got to tell you, I'm going to catch what Paul had. I'm going to catch what the early church had. I'm going to catch the reality of that which was delivered on the faith that was delivered on to the early church. That's what my Bible tells me I'm supposed to be contending for. Praise the Lord. So some things new are irrelevant. You can't have, you know, and I don't mean to criticize what anybody, if they want to believe that, they've got every right to believe it, and they've got every right to gather people around them that want to believe it, but I'm going to tell you the treasures of my heart. They're telling you what they treasure, I'm telling you what I treasure. I trust that we all get the right treasure in our heart, but I can tell you right now, to even suggest that Brother Branham came to correct Paul is so contrary to what he said in his message. So contrary. When it went beyond the curtain of time, the people were saying, we're relying on that. Brother Branham relied on it. He said, well, will Paul have to be judged with his people? He said, yes, Paul will be judged with his people. He said, well, I preached everything Paul preached. And so it was standing behind Paul's word, which Paul was the master builder. Paul laid out the foundation of the truth. He laid it out in those epistles. Hebrews and Romans and all of those wonderful epistles, Ephesians and Galatians, etc. He laid out the foundation. Another comes along and builds on it.
Yes.
He said, but I laid the foundation, another foundation can no man lay than that which is already laid. It's got to be what's already been laid down.
Amen.
Not a new one. You can't change it.
Amen.
Praise God.
Yes.
So some things new are irrelevant. And actually people do exactly what they were told not to do. They venture without authority.
Yes.
And then we get new terminology. New terminology. Thinking that that gives us some kind of exclusivity. Now I won't go through them. Some of the terms that are used, but I'll leave it. You've heard them yourself, but there's a lot of new terminology used. But you know, Genesis 26:18 says, and Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham, and he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And he won't tell you, I'm not ashamed of the word Pentecost.
Amen.
Ashamed of the word Pentecost.
Hallelujah.
And I'm not, and people have made that almost a curse word. Almost a black, it's just, it's almost despised. But I'm not ashamed of a biblical terminology. I'm not ashamed of the terminology of the Bible, the terminology of our forefathers. One thing I've always noticed when you meet, remember years ago, it must be 30 years ago, I met an old brother. He was an old Pentecostal brother, loved the Lord. When you talk to that brother, he could quote to you scripture like you wouldn't believe.
Amen.
He just knew the word. He knew the word of God.
Yes.
And I was blessed by it.
Amen.
Because, you know, we want men of the word, don't we?
Right.
We want men of the scripture.
Yes.
That's where the power lies, brother.
Amen.
Is in the word of God. Praise the Lord. Amen. So a new spirit means another gospel. It means another Jesus. And now in the world we've got a new modern gospel. We've got a charismatic gospel. You can go into those churches and there is absolutely no resemblance to the worship that existed in the true church of God throughout the ages. Even the hymns are a bunch of slop.
Right.
Even their lyrics are nonsense. They could be singing about a woman instead of Jesus. And there's just repeated catchy phrases, and then they put a catchy tune to it, and everybody thinks they're worshiping God. I believe what Brother Tozer said, A.W. Tozer, he said this. He said, our hymns have got to express our theology. So they've got to be about the blood.
Amen.
They've got to be about the power of God. They've got to be about the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
They've got to be about Christ. They've got to be about foundational truths of the Bible.
Amen.
Our hymns have got to express that.
Amen.
And I know you sing out of the old hymns, and I really appreciate that, because that's always my desire. You just got to really watch it. You know, one night, I remember the brother and sister were no longer with us. They got onto the internet and all kinds of nonsense, and then they left the church, and now it's gone further and further away until they don't even believe in hell, they don't even believe in angels, they don't believe very much at all anymore. First of all, we're in the millennium. First of all, the rapture was over. I said, get out of it. Don't go onto that internet and read that stuff. First of all, the rapture's over. Then we're in the tribulation's over. Then we're in the millennium. Now, there's no hell. There's no devil. Terrible. I tell you, it's just a demon spirit.
Yes.
We hear those things preached today.
Yes.
Let me tell you, you should be incensed. My treasure tells me that's wrong.
Yes.
My treasure says I don't want that in my bag.
What?
You've got to be careful what people are trying to put in your bag. And they're trying to get you conformed to their idea.
Right.
And you need to be separated under God, so You know, one night this couple, and I love him still. He was a good friend of mine, traveled with me overseas and everything. And I love him. I do. And but you know, they got off into a wrong scene. I'm just praying that God will bring them back.
Amen.
But you know, one night, the sister, she's a master, a musician. She's got a master's. A great pianist. We come around to my place on a Friday night. I just got myself a Yamaha. You can't be around Howard unless you buy something. I tell you, he got me to buy that piano and it just sits there now. But anyway, he plays it when he comes and I appreciate it. I value it as a piece of equipment. But anyway, they come to my place and they started to play. The sister started to play a whole lot. She'd been staying up late at night. She'd been learning all these new tunes, and they wanted to introduce them to the fellowship, and it went on for about half an hour. And they said, you know what? I can't stand this. I had to say it. I just couldn't stand it. I said, I don't like this new stuff. And she said, where'd you get it from? Hillsongs. Don't you even mention that name. I don't want nothing from Hillsongs. Now that, maybe I'm a bit prejudiced and extreme, but I don't want none of that modern stuff. I want the old hymns and the old gospel and the old way. Praise God. I don't want this modern gospel, this charismatic swap. And I'm sick of it. I don't want any of that. You know, I can hardly watch any of those preachers that come on. It just makes me turn my stomach. It really does. I just love the old-fashioned preachers. Where are the Jack Coes and the A.A. Allens today? See, those men had anointing on them. They preached the word. Hallelujah. They knew where they stood. Now, they weren't perfect and they weren't right in everything, but they sure knew when they what they did know about the word of God. They preached it and got results.
That's right.
That's
right.
I love that anointing. There's a difference between modern anointings and the anointing that was on those men. There's difference between modern anointings and that anointing that was on Brother Branham. That anointing that was on him made people break down and cry before the meeting even started. People were weeping everywhere. There was such a sweetness of the Spirit of Jesus. And I tell you, that's what I want. I want that sweetness. I want that same Spirit. We got so much philosophy and humanism. You know, there's a guy from Dallas, Texas, and I'm getting off my subject a little bit, but there's a guy from Dallas, Texas, and I remember years ago, that's before they took everything else off the tapes. You know, there was a time when you could put on that tape and you would get the singing beforehand, and you'd get other ministers preaching beforehand, like the brother from Canada that was once Brother Branham's manager, and you know, you heard some real good stuff on there, and then Brother Branham preaching and the prayer lines and everything else. But you see, people come along, say that God's only got one voice, so we cut everybody else off. You know, the last voice to the last age can't be the last voice. You know why? Because we are told in Laodicea to hear what the Spirit says to the church. And if the Holy Ghost doesn't speak today, we may as well pack up all preaching and just listen to tapes. And a lot of people have done that because they just don't believe that there's anybody else that's going to bring the word of the Lord. But in the New Testament church, God anointed the ministry to speak as the oracles of God and to bring the word of the Lord. Now, that's no detraction on the prophet of God. That's what they've done. It's not what he did. It's not what he said. So they took all of them off, and I remember hearing, you know, I'm terrible with names these days, but anyway, this particular preacher in Dallas, Texas, his father had come out of the Baptist and received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. My, what a message he preached. What an anointing was on that man. It was at a full gospel businessman's meeting. Today, his son's in control. And he's an older man, just like some of you are.
I wasn't going to say myself, but some of you are.
But anyway, he's an older man. And now he's preaching all this prosperity stuff. You know, you give God a dollar and he'll give you $100 back. And it's all about, it's all appealing to carnal desire, carnal greed. It's all become a prosperity, a get-rich-quick kind of scheme. All justified and made sanctified by being done in a church. But really, it's just the same old, it's the devil, that's all it is.
Amen.
It isn't true religion. So some things that are new are not true. They're not even relevant. They're not relevant at all. It's philosophy, humanism, prosperity, so many things. That's why they need so many counselors. People come to church who are not fed by the Word of God. You know, Jesus said, feed my sheep.
Yeah.
I tell you, that's what the main thing is, feed the sheep.
Right.
Can you imagine having them penned up and you never feed them? You just give them a bag of fairy floss or something, or a bag of chaff, or something that has got no nourishment in it. And then in sheep, you say they're getting sick, we'd better get the vets in. And so you've got all the philosophers coming around, the members of the congregation, trying to deal with their maladies, when all you need to do is feed them. If you feed them, they'll be well, and they'll be strong, and they'll be healthy, and they'll get the Holy Ghost, and the gifts of the Spirit, and discernment of the Spirit. And they'll know where they stand with God, and they'll be strong, and they'll come to church and get their answers, their questions answered.
Amen.
From behind the pulpit. That's how God designed it.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
But then you get all of these pastors, they're all full-time pastors visiting people that have got problems. Sheep that aren't being fed. Sheep that have got disease because they're not being fed. So may the Lord help us. You know, that's what the Lord said to Peter. He said, what do I have to do, Lord? Well, I will give you a program, a visitation program. He didn't give him a visitation program. He didn't tell him that you've got to put up a lot of community works and make sure that we have a charity run and we have another picnic and all of these other things so the sheep will feel part of the whole church. And nothing wrong stand alone of those things, but it can't be substituted for the Word of God.
Amen.
Jesus said to Peter, feed my sheep, feed my lambs.
Amen.
You give them lamb diet, lambs need something different than sheep, and you give the sheep something a little bit more mature.
Amen.
And so does the body of Christ be strengthened and grow in the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Alright, I try not to be negative, but the fact is this is a reality, isn't it? That's where we're faced with. That's what we're faced with. So a lot of new things are not relevant. But I just want to close by saying there are new things that are coming. There are new things that are coming. Isaiah 42 verses 9 to 12, I just read this scripture to you. He said, behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things do I declare. They're not new to God, mind you. It's just, he's talking about the fulfillment of prophetic events. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth. Ye that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. Let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice. The villages that Kedar doth inhabit, let the inhabitants of the rocks sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise in the islands. I tell you, God's going to do a new thing. Not going to be like this for long. There's going to be a new world. There's going to be a place where in the wilderness people are praising God. There's going to be a place where they'll be praising him on top of the mountains. There's going to be a place where they're praising him in the islands of the sea. And it doesn't matter where you go, people are going to be praising God. And the knowledge of the Lord will fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. And everywhere godliness and righteousness shall rule in every village, in every city, amongst all the people and all the men. And there's going to come an influence on this world like it's never been before, when Jesus shall reign of kings as King of Kings. There's going to be a new thing done. I tell you, I want to be part of the new thing. New in prophecy, but just the fulfillment of this covenant in that God came to redeem mankind. Praise the Lord. Song of Solomon chapter 7 verse 13 says, the mandrakes give a smell, and out of gates are all manner of pleasant fruits, new and old, which I have laid up for thee, O my beloved. God said, I've laid up things for you that are new.
Amen.
I've laid it up. It's already waiting for you.
Amen.
We just got to come to that time, to that prophetic cycle. It's already waiting for you. You say, what new things? I tell you, the greatest escape plan that this earth has ever known is going to take place. There's going to be a people that are getting out of here. There's going to be a people that are leaving.
Glory
to God. Under the quickening power of the Holy Ghost. They're going to get out of here. God's got a plan. That Antichrist, just as he wants to get his hands on us, we're going to be gone. Hallelujah. God's got an escape plan. Something new. I tell you, something else he's got for you. Oh, glory to God.
Amen.
He's got a new immortal body for you.
Amen.
Praise God. He's got a new body for you.
Hallelujah.
A new body. Don't get old.
Glory.
Don't need dialysis, brother.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Don't need a hip replacement.
Amen.
Don't need any of the other thing. Don't need dye to make the hair black.
Amen.
Don't need medical treatment. Don't need antibiotics. Don't need drugs.
Amen.
Don't need hospitals.
Amen.
Don't need surgeons.
Amen.
Praise God. That the dead rise first.
Amen.
And they'll be on the earth and we'll see them. And there'll be a quickening on us.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, I tell you, God said, I'm going to do some new things in this age.
Right.
This is the culmination of everything that God sent to us.
Amen.
I believe he's going to bring it to pass. It won't be a new message. It'll be the old message.
Right.
If that same spirit that dwelled in Christ dwell in you, it shall quicken your mortal body. Shield by the Holy Spirit under the day of our redemption. It won't be a new message, it'll be the fulfillment of the prophetic word of God.
Amen.
We're going to be given a white garment.
Amen.
And we're going to go to a wedding supper.
Glory.
Now there are a lot of weddings going on in this world. There's a lot of money spent on weddings. There's a lot of lavish weddings that take place. There's weddings that are over the ages have taken place in king's palaces. I remember when the Indians took over our company, he was telling me about his daughter's wedding in India. 3,000 guests. The festivities went on for weeks, 3 weeks. And the bride and the groom had to be there. 3 weeks. I remember in Japan back in 1988, the Japanese, I did a study tour over there of one of their plants, comparing it to ours in Australia, and the Japanese people there were telling me that the average price, this was back in 1988, for a girl to get married was the equivalent of $80,000. She had to have 3 sets of dresses. Oh, the ceremony and the cost of it all. But I'm going to tell you, there's going to be a wedding one day.
Amen.
In the glory of God, in the presence of God. There's never been a wedding like it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's going to be his day. Glory to God when he takes his beloved bride to himself.
Amen.
She'll be the humblest, sweetest little group of people you ever met.
Amen.
She'll come up from all the ages.
Yes.
and be gathered at that wedding supper. And I tell you something else we're going to have. We're going to have wedding speeches. Paul will get up and give his summary. And all of these wedding speeches, they're going to lead to the end of it all. It's going to lead to nothing but worship and praise to the Lamb of God.
Amen.
You know, Paul will talk about his days and how he overcame and what he went through and everything else and how the word of the Lord was given to him and how God blessed him and helped him to fulfill his ministry and his cause and his purpose on life. And then he'll come to the end of it all. He said, it wasn't Paul. It was that man over there. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Everybody will raise and praise the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There'll be drunkards that were once drunkards. There'll be overseer and every church age messenger. I believe there's going to be a lot. We'll have a lot of time, 3.5 years.
Yes.
Right.
Amen.
I tell you, I don't want to miss that. He's got some new things for us.
Amen.
In a white garment. Nobody's going to have a dirty garment.
Right.
Could you imagine how out of place you'd be with a dirty garment? This garment is the righteousness of the Son of God Himself.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And then there's going to be a return to earth. When William Booth had that vision of the return of Christ, and he saw the saints on white horses following the Lord Jesus Christ, he said it was the most awe-inspiring and majestic sight his eyes had ever beheld. He said you cannot even describe the honour and the majesty and the glory to be mounted on those white steeds. And he said they were coming and they kept coming. And they were thundering past, following the Lord Jesus to go back to the earth again. I tell you, I can't ride a horse. I got on one once and that horse knew I was a greenhorn, and that horse headed off down a track there next to a barbed wire fence, and it started galloping. I tell you, I was going under the boughs of trees, my legs were nearly ripped off by the fence. I couldn't stop the thing, I couldn't control it, not in any way. And then on the way back home, it started to gallop. Well, I'd seen cowboy movies, you know, whoa, 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 and that horse said, "You fool, you've been able to stop the wind." It just kept going flat out till it got to the fence, to the gate. And then it put a seat down like that and stopped. And I'm just about over its head, right? I tell you, I swore I'll never get on another horse. I don't think I ever have. I was 18 at the time. But I do want to get on one of these horses. He said he'd give me a robe of his righteousness. He'd give me white garments, pure and white. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then when all the world is going to answer to him at the end of that millennium period, I want to sit in the throne with him. I don't want to be before him, I want to sit in the throne. And I want to be part of that process. And then entering into the glorious, bejeweled city. You know, I've got a book at home and it's pretty well verified. These were real saints that had these visions when they saw the pyramid city, and their description defies all logic. They said that, you know, people were on different levels, and of course, you know, the resurrection is like the stars of the heavens, some shone brighter than others, but they were all on different levels. And there were, I think they said there were 12 levels or 7 levels, I can't remember exactly, but I do remember they said that from the centre of each level, so the river of life came down through each level, and it went all the way down, right down to the bottom. And then there were highways that went out from the centre, and each level had its own great temple of worship and so forth, and the great temple was up in the top where Christ was the light. And there were these 12 highways across the rivers. Now you think, oh, it's would be very close. No, it was like 30 miles apart, you know, to get between each section of the river, and all the way along the river and on the highways, absolutely beautiful flowers and trees and glory like you couldn't even imagine. And what a place God has prepared. Now, I don't know. I believe that. But I believe God's got a great future home for his people.
Amen.
And you know, could we ever, would we want to trade places with Rockefeller or J.P. Morgan and all these great millionaires of the world that are all laying in the dust somewhere now and their money means nothing to them? What would we trade? We trade it in for a bit of a life of
sin and debauchery. We trade it in for just a life of pub crawling. There's nothing in the world worth it.
Amen.
It'll be worth it all. That's a little treasure that I believe God's put in my heart. I'm waiting for that day. A new thing. A new home. I'm going to close with this. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." There are new things coming in the kingdom of God. And he said unto me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful."
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, I hope you've got some thoughts from that message, bringing forth things both new and old, out of our script, out of our treasure bag. Amen. Isn't he precious?
Amen.
Isn't the Lord precious?
Yes.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. Shall we sing that? Do you sing that one? I stand amazed in the presence.